And I was up here thinking, you guys get to enjoy and see the fruit of the worship team, and of course I'm part of it, but Lila has been with me since before this church started, and she's been our worship leader. And you think, well, you see her come in here on Sunday morning, but this involves much more than Sunday morning. She has to get the songs together, and she'll get suggestions on songs, so she has to learn those songs and put those all together and spend a lot of hours before she ever gets here. And then everybody on the worship team is supposed to be here at 8 in the morning so that we can set up and that we can practice and we can go through things. So it's hours and hours and hours of a sacrifice unto the Lord. I mean, they love it, but it's still a sacrifice to them. And I just want to honor you, Lila. Thank you so much for your faithfulness. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, God is good. I said, God is good. But He's a just God. God demands justice. God's not a God up there that, well, I just love everybody and everything, and so everything is all fine, and whatever you want to do is good, and you know, Adam, you fell, that's no biggie. Come on back into the garden. There's justice, right? Yeah. Justice. Justice is demanded. Come on. And there's a cry for justice. Did you know that today, right now, the earth, the very earth that you're standing on, and all of creation is crying for the justice of God to be finally revealed? Right? No matter what craziness you hear, no matter what's being said out in the world, no matter what opinion that the top scientists have or the top psychiatrists have or whoever has, I'm telling you, there's a cry of creation and they're groaning for justice. What is justice? The right thing. The correct thing. For things to be set right. For things to be set in order. For things to make sense. Right? I don't know about you, but things don't make sense to me today. But there is a cry for justice. Come on. And watch, that justice is on many different levels. That justice can be for the individual. Right? All of us are going to have to stand before God one day and present a case for why we are justified to be in His sight. But then there's nations that have to come in line with justice. Right? And watch this. Here's the bottom line is that all of us have sinned. All of us have come short of the glory of God. All of us, nations, everything, we've missed it. Right? But I want to look at that a little bit today. And not to get it twisted or become so modernized in our thinking that we don't remember that God cries out for justice. Right? I'm not going to get too political on you, but it's all right if I do. Have you watched? I mean, for the last 8 years, we've had hearings on everything. Spent millions and thousands of dollars, the Democrats against the Republicans and the Republicans against, and it's crazy. There's never any charges that come out of it, and there's no truth. Can you tell me what the truth is? Because I don't know. I listen to them, and this one says this, and that one says that, and I don't know the truth. And without the truth being justified, there's no righteousness. But someday, soon, that one that we were singing about, you know, when he rose from the grave, one of the lines in the song was that the lion arose, but the lion hasn't risen yet. Jesus rose from the dead, but the lion is coming back with an army. The lion is coming back to roar. The lion is coming back to say, enough.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I'm taking the whole thing back. Devil, your reign is over. He's coming. Cry for justice. Go to Genesis chapter 4. And I want you to see this. This again is the story of Cain and Abel. And you know how Cain and Abel had an offering and God accepted Abel's, but Cain's, he said, not so much. Right? But listen to this. Verse 6 says, so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you. But you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose against Abel, his brother, and killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? Verse 10 said, and he said, what have you done? Listen to this. The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. The blood's still crying out. They're good today. Look at it. I love it. Listen, the blood still cries out. You might think, well, that one's getting away from murder, and that one's getting away with murder, and that one's doing this. It's crying out to God today. Right? It's crying out. And I think the crescendo is getting louder and louder and louder. And if we still ignore it and we still kind of put it on, but the justice of God will come to pass because the blood is crying out. All the babies that we've aborted is crying out. All the human trafficking that we've allowed, it's crying out. Right? All the poor who are starving today, it's crying out. And God, watch this. We're so different. Because we live in our own little world, right? And so things are good here. But God is saying, look, watch this. God is saying to you, you are your brother's keeper. What I mean by that? Listen, if God sees the blood of people and it's crying out to Him for justice, as Christians, we should be crying out in prayer for justice. Right? And I'm not saying that the Republicans are right or the Democrats are right or that I'm right. But what I'm saying is God is right. And God, we're crying out for you to touch our nation again. But the first place I want truth, Lord, is in my heart. Show me my heart, God. And if there's anything unjust in it, let the cry go to you, but let that cry ring back to me. Because I want to change it. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, what does that mean? That means in the Old Testament it looked like this. You got sackcloth on, so you took off any nice garments or clothes you had, and you got ashes out of the fire, and you poured them all over yourself. So you went before people looking, I'm in trouble and I've done something wrong, and I'm seeking God for something, so I want you to know that I don't present myself as anything but sackcloth and ashes. Now watch this, and I know Jesus has paid the price for us, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But what I'm saying is, as a people, as a person, as me, right? It's just me. It's like God is saying, are you really crying out for justice from the standpoint of coming before me with a burden on your heart for the people whose blood is crying out to me? Are you listening? Go to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. A cry for justice. A cry for justice. Genesis chapter 18. And verse 20. And the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave. Do you know that there's a cry for justice when sin is prevailing? Yeah. And you know, if most people said, well, what was the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah? And homosexuality would be the top one up there. And it's a sin, right? It's sin. It's not right. It's not the way God created things. But really, the ultimate sin in Sodom and Gomorrah is how they were treating one another.
Right.
How they were perverting the God intent of relationships. So there's a cry out in our nation. There's a cry out in our generation that's going before God, because even the sin that we're just allowing or just even become... How many have just become kind of... And, you know, it's just like, it's ambiguous. It's like, well, it doesn't even affect me anymore. It just doesn't, it doesn't affect me anymore. Why? Because our hearts haven't been in line with His hearts, and we haven't cried out to Him, Lord, the perversion that we've allowed in our country, the perversion that we've allowed in our... I'm in the same position that we all are in. But how many of us want justice, but we're allowing sin to come and stay in our house? If we're going to cry out for justice, we have to start with our own house. And I'm not speaking something religious over you, but on the other hand, watch this. I believe the devil has access to some of us that he shouldn't have, because we've allowed the door of sin to just be open to us. And we've just kind of laughed it off, or we said, well, I'm not as bad as this one, or I'm not as bad as that one. And we say, well, at least I'm not this. I'm not a drug addict. I'm not an alcoholic. But are you a liar? Right? Are you gossiping? Do you hear what I'm saying? It's like God is saying, listen, He said this, I didn't say it. He said, be holy, because I'm holy. Because justice cries out for anything and against anything that isn't holy.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Justice cries out. So watch this. I'm redeemed. I'm forgiven. I'm right with God because of the blood of Jesus. But I have no business allowing things into my house or into my heart that are in violation of what I know is right. Why? Because that very behavior cries out to God for justice. He's holy. I said, He's holy. He's holy. Now watch this. Go to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Stick with me today. Stick with me. I'm not here to point fingers down at you saying that, you know, if you were only like me. I'm really up here saying that we're all in the same boat together. And that God wants all of us to come to a place where we understand that He is really holy. I mean, really, really, He's holy. And nothing outside of His holiness should ever be in His presence. And yet we just... Have you ever noticed that when you poison an animal, you don't just put the poison out. You put a poison in something that they're really going to like. And so there might be a whole bunch of good things, but a little poison in it. Right? And it will cry out. Let me just give you an example that how many know that worship is good? And I just honor Lila, and I do it with all my heart. I honor her. But if you're a worship leader or if you're a pastor and you're getting into the position of pride, which says, look at me, instead of pointing to Jesus, right? That's a seed in something that's really good, but if it's not dealt with, it'll destroy the whole thing.
Yes.
Right? And that pride cries out to God for justice. That's right. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7. It says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because they're taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. See, God hears our cry when we're living in the land of just absolute perversion. But are we crying out? Are we crying out? See, some of us have thrown our hands up. I live in Western Washington. You know that place that votes in all kinds of stupid things? All kinds of things that are totally against God? And so, you know, Jesus will come one day and make it all right. But am I crying out for the truth to be revealed at such a level that do I still believe God could do something in Western Washington? I do. I do. Because I'm just stubborn enough to believe that God said every place that you put your foot, you can possess. Right? Some people say, well, I need to move out of Western Washington. And if that's what God's put on your heart, that's great. I'm not saying anything. But for me, this is where God planted me. And so He's equipped me to do anything that I need to do here. And what if they come for me and throw me in jail, I'm equipped for that. Right? But I'm crying out, not, watch this. I'm crying out for the justice, watch this. Not that I can be right and everybody else could be wrong. But do you understand that all of those who are deceived, everybody that's deceived and hasn't taken Jesus as their Savior, justice demands that they spend eternity in hell. So Am I crying out in my heart for that person that's railing against anything that has to do with God? I've seen people possessed attacking the things of the Bible. I've seen that with my own eyes. And you think, well, bless God, just send them to hell. Or is it, Lord, their heart is important to me. And God, I'm praying and I'm believing, God, and I'm asking you, Lord, to reveal Jesus to them.
Right.
See, that's crying out for justice for the individual. Hallelujah. Go to Psalms chapter 9. Psalms chapter 9. Glory to God. The 9th Psalm. Hallelujah. Why is this stirring on my heart? I think it's stirring on my heart because God wants His bride to stand up. He's waiting for the army of God to stand up and understand that you know, paying your rent is important, and where you live, making that nice is good, and driving the right car, that's awesome, and all of that. But do you know that all of that is going to burn up, and none of it will be remembered 100 years from now, or 1 million years from now, or 2 million years from now? But will be celebrated is where you stood for His truth. Verse 11 says this. It says, we'll start in verse 9. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. To those who know Your name will put their trust in You, for You, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek You. Sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare His deeds among the people. When He avenges blood, He remembers them and does not forget the cry of the humble. See, there's a cry going out even today for justice. Go to Revelation chapter 6, the book of Revelation. In chapter 6. Verse 9 it says, "And when He opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, until You judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?' Then a white robe was given to each one of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were, as was complete." See, there is coming a time when God is going to say, "That's it." And I'm looking forward to that day from an individual. I can't, you know, I'm not asking to die today or tomorrow or anytime soon. But I'm not afraid of death, right? I'm not afraid of Jesus' return. But here's one thing. When I first got saved, and everybody was saying, "Jesus is coming soon." That was a few years ago now. "Jesus is coming soon." And I was, part of me going, "Come right now, Lord. Come right now. Take us all up out of here. It'd be awesome." But then I remembered my brother, my sister, my aunt, my uncle, the people that I love, the people that I know. I wasn't sure that they knew Jesus. And Lord, don't come yet. Don't come yet. It's like one guy said, in the rapture, I'm going to grab one sinner with the right hand, one sinner on the left hand. I'm going to take him up high. Now will you believe, right? I mean, do you see what I'm saying? It's like we need to cry out for the lost. We need to cry out for the lost. Go to Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel 33. Hallelujah. We could read this whole chapter, but there's not time. Ezekiel 33. Hang on just a second. Okay, listen to this. Verse 12, therefore, you, O son of man, say to the children of the people, the righteousness of God, the righteousness of the righteous man shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. For the wickedness of the wicked he shall not fall, but because in the day that he turns from his wickedness, nor shall the righteous be able to live because of his righteousness in the day of his sin. For when I say to the righteous, he shall surely live, but he trusts his own righteousness and commits iniquity, none of his righteous works shall be remembered. But because of the iniquity he has committed, he shall die. Isn't that something? I mean, that's what it says, right? Right? Aren't you glad that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to seek you, to come after you, to come after you? But I am not positive this, but I believe this, that the Holy Spirit put somebody in your path that began to have a burden for you and pray for you. It could have been a mama, a daddy, a grandma. It could have been great-grandpa that died 35 years ago. But it was somebody that cried out to God for your heart. And then one day the Holy Spirit put you in the position where you could come and answer that call. You know, the Bible talks about how the watchman is supposed to be on the wall and declaring what God says and being who that God wants them to be. Now, I've known people that I've got a watchman's ministry, and they sit in the back of the church and judge everybody. Well, those people I'll kick out. But what I'm saying is that God puts a burden on your heart for somebody else. It might be your children. It might be your grandchildren. It might be your neighbor. It might be for a whole group of people. And He puts that. Then it's your job to watch for them. And not just watch for them in what you say, but specifically watch for them for what you pray. Because the justice of God is being revealed. Right? Here's the good news, though, and I want to start winding down with this. Go to Romans chapter 3. Here's the good news. Aren't you glad that you don't have to go before God this morning and say, God, I'm just going to plead my case and show you why I'm not as bad as anybody else. I'm going to go before you and say, you know, I'm not the sinner that this person is, or I'm not the liar that that person is, and I'm not the person who commits adultery as much as this person. I'm better than they are. That type of attitude, the justice of God that demands that the blood have some justification, that it cries out to Him. If that's the case, we're all toast. But that's the beauty of the new covenant. I said that Jesus is holy. God is holy. The holiness of God didn't change because we came into the New Testament. The justice that is being cried out for is still in effect today.
Yes. Mm.
I'm so glad that His mercy triumphs over judgment. You know, one day I was thinking about the tabernacle in the Old Testament, and in the tabernacle in the Old Testament, they have the law of God and they have the presence of God in the ark of God, right? And it's all in there, and this is do this, don't do that, do this, this is, and it's inside of the box. But over the box, the wings of the angel, you know what it's called? The mercy seat. You know what grace is? Grace is God giving to us what we don't deserve. Mercy is Him not giving to us what we do deserve. I'm glad that the mercy is over the judgment. But there's conditions to the mercy. Romans chapter 3, and let's go to verse 21. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Now again, justice demands a sentence for anything that's against justice. And justice being taken care of restores righteousness. Hallelujah. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus to all and on all who believe, for there's no difference. You see, justice has been served in that Jesus took the penalty for my sin. But I must believe that He is the justifier of those who are dead in their trespasses and sin, those who deserve the justice of God to send them to eternity without Him. But Jesus paid the price for me. Right? He's my justifier. He's my justifier. Verse 23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. There's a cry for justification. It's supposed to be in the heart of all believers. In fact, we are called ambassadors for the message of reconciliation. That's a cry that the Redeemer has paid the price for your sin so that you can be justified before God because your sins have already been dealt with. So we need to be at a place where we're crying out for those who don't know yet, but also freely proclaiming to them that there is a choice that you can make. That your justification will be on Him and not on you. Verse 25 says, whom God set forth, talking about Jesus, as a propitiation, that means the price paid or the sentence completed, by His blood, through faith, to demonstrate His righteousness, because of His forbearance, God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. To demonstrate present time His righteousness, that He might be the just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Come on. He's demanding justice. The earth is crying out for justice. All of eternity is crying out for justice. And the only answer for human beings and fallen man is crying out to the justifier.
Yes.
Jesus is our justifier. We need to be crying out and heralding our justification in Christ. You know, I've been justified, and it gives me a right to be a man of God, a son of the Most High God. And in His justification, that allows me to be in a position of the authority that He carries. Come on. I need to cry out and believe that I have authority over every evil spirit that's trying to bring down the area, my family, my kids, take my finances away, take my joy, take my peace. I need, as a justified one, to cry out, no more, it stops right here. Right here, right now, in Jesus' name. I'm no longer going to live in fear. I'm no longer going to be tormented. I'm no longer... Come on. How many of us really believe and have cried out for those that are bound and that just can't seem to get rid of something? We've cried out for them. Jesus, come and deliver them. My heart is burdened. My heart is burdened for people who are bound by anything. I want to see them set free. I want to see them delivered. But I need to cry out from a spirit of intercession in my heart to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm your man. I believe with all of my heart that if I lay hands on that person and they're in a place of humility before you, they'll be instantly delivered from the attack of the enemy. I got one more verse, but we're not going to go to it. I just feel, watch this. Now just listen to me. Close your eyes for just a minute. If you're tormented in any area of your life, whether it be sickness, financial pressure, maybe you're tormented by anger, maybe you're tormented by jealousy, maybe you're tormented by bitterness. He justified you and gave you a position where that should no longer have an effect on you. And if you cannot get rid of it, you might want to inquire if there's demonic activity associated with it. And if there is, you need to begin to declare that it needs to get in Jesus' name. You need to begin to declare that in Jesus' name, the Satan will have no authority over me. Anger, I'm speaking to you. Get out of my life in Jesus' name. Don't just think of it as a condition. Think of it as a spirit that's trying to control you. Lust, you have no place in me. Don't think of it as just, you know, it's just one of those things men or women do. It's just, you know, that's part of it. No, it's not. You've been justified. You've been freed from it. The blood of Jesus has set you free from it. Lack, you have no place in me because I serve the God who is God and He's more than enough for any need that I have in Jesus' name. Worry, I'm speaking to you. You have no hold on me. I refuse to be bound by anything I've been justified from. And He paid the price for my justification. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, right now I pray over everybody that's in this room, everybody that's watching online or will watch at some time in the future. God, I just pray that anointing that I feel in here, that some people have called it a breaker anointing. I just feel like that anointing is here right now to break off. Because our hearts are crying out to you for the freedom that's been purchased. I break the back of the enemy over every person that's listening to these words. In Jesus' name, I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. He paid my price by His blood. My ransom has already been deemed accepted in Jesus' name. So, Lord, I just thank You for touching everybody right now in Jesus' name. If you're here and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, or if you're here and at some point you did, but then you kind of put Him aside and have decided I can handle this on my own, that's a fool's quest right there. You need to come back onto total dependence on Him this morning, right now. Right now, don't put it off. If you're here and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, or if you need to come back to Him and just say, Lord, I've taken on this pressure in my life and it belongs to You, and I'm just going to give myself completely again to You this morning. If that's you, we're all going to pray this together. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, all of us have no shot of being worthy of Your presence on our own. But we humbly come before You, recognizing our need for a Savior. Jesus, You're our Savior. We thank You that You've justified us. We thank You that Your mercy is over us. Right now, I surrender everything I have to You. I surrender my life. I surrender my job. I surrender my family. I surrender it all to You. Help me, Lord, to be an intercessor for those who've not been justified. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 If I could have the worship team come up. Thank you for joining us. God bless you online.